Well, the old joke is, you know, preaching on sin, and, well, are you for it or against it? And, of course, we want to be against it. We want to be against it. But today, we want to spend some time thinking very seriously about sin and thinking about some things that the Bible has to say on a very serious level about sin. Let's just kind of introduce this by thinking about a few different kinds of sins, not without any extreme elaboration on them, that are mentioned in the Scriptures. Number one, there are things called unintentional sins. There are things called unintentional sins. I invite your attention to the book of Numbers, chapter 15. I know this is from the Old Testament, but the principle is still the same of unintentional sin that existed then. It still exists now. We still have to deal with it now. And yet we see that God's Word addresses this area of unintentional sin. Numbers chapter 15, if you would, look at verse 25. So the priest, Numbers 15, verse 25. So the priest shall make atonement for the whole congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it was unintentional. And you can look a little earlier in this chapter, the previous verses, and it elaborates on that as well. But the point being that God's law made allowance for, concession for, something called unintentional sin. For it was unintentional, and it shall be forgiven them, for it was unintentional. They shall bring their offering, an offering made by fire to the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their unintended sin. And it shall be forgiven the whole congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger who dwells among them, because the people did it unintentionally. And if a person sins unintentionally, then he shall bring a female goat of the first year as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for the person who sins unintentionally. When he sins unintentionally before the Lord to make atonement for him, it shall be forgiven him. I think we see very clearly, as it's repeated several times just in those few verses, that God made an allowance for unintentional sin. There were still steps given for that person to offer sacrifices in order to have forgiveness and receive forgiveness by the grace of God. But sometimes there are sins that are unintentional. We don't mean to sin, but we do it anyway. We don't realize that we have sinned. Sometimes, but we have sin. The guilt, the transgression is still there. I may not know I'm trespassing on someone else's land, but I'm on someone else's land regardless of my ignorance of the situation or my knowledge of the situation. In this case, it's unintentional. Didn't mean to do it, but I did it. It's kind of like Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, if a man be overtaken in a fault, sometimes you're just overtaken. You don't set out to do it deliberately or purposely, but it's unintentional. Well, that's one type of sin that's mentioned in the Bible. Secondly, there is something also called presumptuous sin. Another category, one category is unintentional. Another second category is presumptuous sin. Keep reading where we are in Numbers chapter 15 and look at verse 30. Numbers 15, verse 30 and 31. But, now there's a contrast, but the person who does anything presumptuously. I have a footnote in this Bible, it's a New King James, but I have a footnote in this Bible that says defiantly, with a high hand. If anyone sins with a high hand, defiantly, presumptuously, whether he be native born or stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him. That's presumptuous sin. That's defiant sin. That's sin with a high hand. That's the second category of sins that are mentioned in the Bible. We will come back to this just a little bit, but we're not going to elaborate too much on these two or three that we're going to mention sort of in our introduction. A third category of sin that we want to spend just a moment thinking about is what we might call the secret sin. Psalm 19. Look at the 19th Psalm for just a moment. In fact, if you look at verse 13 of Psalm 19, there he talks about presumptuous sin that we were just mentioning a moment ago. Psalm 19, verse 13 says, "Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me." But drop back up one verse to Psalm 19, verse 12. "Who can understand the errors? Cleanse me from secret faults." The 90th Psalm, this is Psalm 19, well, Psalm 90, verse 8, talks about secret sins. There are sins that are done without publicly broadcasting them. We think that they are done completely in secret sometimes. We are deceived that way. But God sees all and knows all. But these are not sins that we do defiantly with a high hand in the sense that they are just out there and we don't care what anybody thinks. These are more sins that I do individually, privately, hypocritically perhaps, trying to hide my transgression, trying to hide my sin from the face of at least mankind, and perhaps even being deceived to the point of thinking that I've hidden it from the face of God. So there's presumptuous sin, there's unintentional sin, there's secret sin. There are many other sins that are mentioned in the Bible, Old and New Testament, but just kind of as an introductory thought, I think that will suffice, particularly as we think about those from the Old Testament. Now, I want us to shift gears to the New Testament, and I want us to look at the book of Hebrews for a moment. In fact, not just for a moment, we're going to look at a passage from Hebrews, really for the remainder of our time together this morning. But before we specifically zone in on that one passage, I want you to think about some sins that are mentioned in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 12, verse 1, talks about the sin that so easily besets us. So there's another kind of sin, besetting sin. That sin that trips us up almost every time. That sin that seemingly we almost feel defenseless when we are faced with it. The besetting sin. Hebrews 12, verse 1. In Hebrews 9, verse 7, there is a reference here to the high priest and to the sacrifices that the priest made for himself and for the people. In Hebrews 9:7, it talks about sins that are committed in ignorance, unaware, unintentionally perhaps. We might also make that application. But there's one more sin that is mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, that we want to really focus on. In fact, this is where we want to spend the duration of our time, the balance of our time this morning. Hebrews 10, verse 26. "For if we sin willfully," willful sin. Basically the equivalent of what we saw in Numbers 15 of presumptuous, defiant, high-handed sin. But here it is mentioned, and let's read just a few verses. Hebrews 10, again, verse 26. "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment." Notice how that is driven home. Certain, fearful expectation of judgment, "and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Anyone who rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment?" Some translations say, "How much sorer punishment?" How much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace. If you look down, if you keep reading, it says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.'" And again, "The Lord will judge his people." Verse 31 speaks very powerfully in this context of sin. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In this context, in this scenario that has been painted, of one who has deliberately, presumptuously, high-handedly, willfully chosen to sin. These are very, very soul-shaking words. Willful sin. Deliberate sin. Presumptuous sin. High-handed sin. Sin that I have chosen to be involved in. It was not unintentional, like we read about, that God understands and makes allowances for. It is not in ignorance. It is deliberate. It is a choice. It is a decision. I have weighed the options, and I have made the decision to sin, to disobey. I know what the commandments are. This is not done in ignorance. I know what the commandments are. I know what the Bible says. I know what God has taught me. But I have chosen deliberately, presumptuously, defiantly to violate them. The sign says no trespassing. I've ignored the sign. And I walk right past it, and I've trespassed. Sin, among several different variations and nuances of definition of it, means to miss the mark. Like you think about a target on a wall, and that there's the mark there that you're trying to hit. Sin means that you missed it. You might have gotten close in some cases, but in some cases, like this presumptuous, defiant choice, maybe you've not even hit the target at all. It's a deliberate choice to go astray. It's a deliberate choice not to land where I'm supposed to land. It's a deliberate choice not to hit the target where I'm supposed to hit it. It's a deliberate choice to miss the mark. It's not in ignorance. It's not unintentional. It's a choice. It's a choice not to be where I'm supposed to be. It's a choice to be somewhere I'm not supposed to be. It's a choice to violate the commandment. It's a choice to break the law. It's willful. My will. It's not like we mentioned a moment ago in Galatians chapter 6, I was overtaken. I just was doing one thing and another, and the next thing I know, boom, I was involved in this, or I got influenced by the wrong people, or I heard the wrong things. But no, I sat down and made a conscious decision. I wasn't carried away with the crowd, but I made a conscious decision to break the commands of God. That's willful sin. And I want you to notice, as we look at our in Hebrews chapter 10, that this tells us that under the law of Moses, that we read about a moment ago in Numbers chapter 15 particularly, under the law of Moses, that those people who violated it, obviously who refused to repent, that there was a capital punishment meted out to them because of their violation of the law of Moses. We're not under the law of Moses, we're under the law of Christ. And so the author of Hebrews, through inspiration, goes on to make the application from the lesser to the greater. And he says, the law of Christ is greater. And if under the law of Moses, which was lesser, if people died because they willfully chose to disobey and violate the commands, how much worse do you think it is for those of us under the law of Christ when we choose to deliberately, high-handedly, presumptuously, defiantly break the commandments? We know the truth. We know the law. But we choose. How much worse punishment do you think that is? And then there is a threefold description of what this sin is like in verse 29. And I have read Hebrews 10:29 many times in my life, and I'm sure that you have too. But this particular week, as I have read and studied these three phrases that we find in verse 29 that are a description of willful sin and what willful sin means. You know, we can use the terminology willful sin. We can say presumptuous, defiant, high-handedly. I think we all basically have the idea of what that is. But the Holy Spirit of God inspired the author of Hebrews to give us three distinct phrases that you find in verse 29 that paint a picture of willful sin. That I'll just be honest with you, and the many times I have read this verse before, I have never contemplated or seen as clearly as I have seen these last few days. Here a picture is painted with these three phrases of what willful sin is. Let's look at them with all the attention they demand, and all our heart has to give. Hebrews 10:29. Number one, he has trampled the Son of God underfoot. That's the first of the three phrases that describe willful sin. It is trampling the Son of God underfoot. Jesus uses terminology like this in Matthew chapter 5 when he talks about the influence of his children. And he says that we are the salt of the earth. Salt is good. But when the salt loses its savor, when the salt loses its power, when the salt loses its ability to be pungent like it's supposed to be and do what it's supposed to do, what does Jesus say? It is thenceforth what? Good for nothing but to be cast out, and what does Jesus say? Trodden under the foot of man. You see, essentially, when we willfully sin, when we choose to sin, we are saying that Jesus is good for nothing. He is worthless. He is useless. He has no value. We're going to throw him out in the street and we're just going to walk on him. And I want you to notice the terminology here. In many translations anyway, it says that this picture, this threefold picture, I am trampling the Son of God underfoot. We are told in Galatians chapter 3 that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, this is when we become a child of God, as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, you've seen me do the illustration before, that the language there is like a garment. It's like this coat that I have on. That when you're baptized into Christ, you take off the old coat of sin, the old clothing, the old garments of sin, and Galatians 3 says you put on Christ like this. But now what? When I deliberately sin,
when I defiantly choose to sin, I'm saying that Jesus is good for nothing. I'm going to take the garment off, and I am going to throw it out in the street, and I am going to not just step on it, I am going to trample on the Son of God underfoot. Back in the 80s, the rock band The Who had a concert in America. And you may remember the headlines. 7 people were trampled to death at that concert because the crowd was so huge. Can you imagine the unthinkable number of size of the crowd of the sinners that are trampling and trampling and trampling and trampling and trampling on the Son of God? And when I choose deliberately to willfully sin, I am trampling the Son of God underfoot. I'm saying He is no good, without value, worthless. But next, as the author of Hebrews tells us, we count the blood of the covenant by which we were sanctified a common thing. When it says that we count the blood of the covenant, that again is the indication of deliberation. I have sat down and I have weighed this. I have thought about it. And now I have counted. Not accidentally, not ignorantly, not unintentionally. I have counted the blood of the covenant. That's the blood of Jesus. I have counted the blood of Jesus what? Common. Ordinary. Just an everyday thing. It's not special. It doesn't mean anything different. It's just everyday. It's common. That blood that Jesus shed on the cross, so what? I cut myself the other day and I've got a Band-Aid on right here and I bled when I cut myself. Got it on my shirt and on the floor. Big deal. You know, it's curing up. It's going to be okay. You and I do that all the time. But to relegate the blood of Jesus by deliberately, defiantly choosing to sin and counting that blood, knowing what Jesus did for me, and in spite of that, counting that blood as just ordinary, common thing all the time, all the place, every day, nothing special about it. That is painting a picture of willful sin. Willful sin, this picture that's being painted for us, is trampling the Son of God underfoot. Willful sin, the picture that's being painted for us, is counting, deliberately determining that that blood that was shed on that cross at Calvary is nothing special. It's just ordinary. It's common. But there's a third phrase that's used here to describe and paint the picture of what willful sin is. Trampling the Son of God underfoot, counting the blood of the covenant by which we've been sanctified, just common. And then what else? Insulting the Spirit of grace. It is by God's grace we are saved. Ephesians chapter 2 says it is by grace through faith we are saved. Yes, it is God's grace. My faith responds to that grace in obedience. My faith responds to that grace by obeying the gospel and
putting on Christ, as many of us as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Then we walk in the light as He is in the light. And we live faithfully. But then we're tempted to sin. We all are. And we get involved in sin in different ways, like we pointed out. Sometimes it's ignorantly. Sometimes it is without malice and aforethought. Sometimes it is just done unintentionally. But then there's the choice. There's the deliberate decision. I'm weighing this, and I'm choosing. And when I do that, I'm insulting the Spirit. The Spirit of grace. The Spirit of God that gave me that grace. I'm insulting the Spirit. You know, there are different kinds of insults. Many of us know who Don Rickles is, and we know he was the insult king in his lifetime. And there are those kind of just sarcastic insults that we give to one another. Sometimes in jest, sometimes, you know, because we're upset or mad at someone. There are those kind of insults that are sort of a one-time thing, but there's something deeper here. This isn't just a one-time calling God some kind of foolish name or an insult, or calling the Spirit of God something like that. There's something deeper here. Because I have made this choice, and because now I'm setting this pattern up in my life to willfully sin, to defiantly sin, to deliberately sin, to presumptuously sin, to sin with a high hand, with my eyes wide open. It's not just a one-time insult. There's something indicated here about my mindset and my heart and the way I am approaching God in all that I do. I'm insulting Him with my choice. I'm insulting Him with my decision. I'm insulting Him with my life. I'm insulting Him with my sin. After He has done so much for me, grace, the Spirit of grace. After He has done so much for me and provided so much for me, after He has blessed me with so much and made salvation possible when it seemed like it was hopeless, after God has done all of that for me, after the Spirit of God has done all of that for me, after Jesus has died for me, after all of that has happened, I turn my back on Him. And I choose to sin deliberately. I have insulted God's Spirit. Several years ago, I and several individuals were going to be involved in a ambitious little project that was going to take the better part of a day. And at the end of that day, my understanding was that we would gather together, relax, and enjoy a meal. I came from a long distance to be a part of this particular project. I gave up some days of my time to be involved in this particular project. And I worked as hard as anybody all day long. And we accomplished the things that we wanted to accomplish. And we were tired. We were sweaty. We were hungry. As we were shutting down, and we're getting ready to relax, go to a mutual place, enjoy one another's company, I was told, in so many words, "You don't need to come." I didn't get mad. But I was insulted. I wasn't called a funny name. But I was insulted. I was hurt. And I did come home to my family and I sat down and I said, I have been outdone. I have just simply been outdone. I'll get over it, but I have been outdone. And maybe in some small fraction of a way, that's how God feels when I tell Him, you don't need to come. Just go your way. And with those three phrases, we have painted for us a vivid, horrible picture of willful sin. Now, let's change gears and let's talk about willful obedience. And let's talk about willful repentance. And let's talk about willful faithfulness. Because in order to avoid willful sin, I've got to willfully make up my mind and willfully choose to do the right thing. And I've got to willfully repent of my sins, the deliberate ones especially, but all of them. And I've got to willfully decide to turn my life around and give it to Jesus. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus by putting on Christ in baptism, as we discussed a moment ago. Obey the gospel and put on Jesus and live faithfully for Him. But maybe you willfully sinned and you willfully chosen to hang this picture in your house of willful sin, to hang it in your heart. Take it down and replace it with willful repentance and willful obedience. Would you come this morning as we stand together?